We're in the Sefer Aleshor. We've moved on to the topic of Emuna. And in the last time we learned together, we spoke about Emuna being a basic, inherent, inbuilt trait within man to trust. And man trusts. That's the nature of man, to trust. And a man can't live without putting a deep trust in something. That's always going to exist, like energy. Energy is something which always exists, just you can transform the energy from doing different types of energy, from energy type one to another type of energy, but the energy is always there. So to Emunah is always there. If a person doesn't have Emunah, then he wills. But what you choose to place your Emunah in, that's your choice. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a mission as well to channel our Emunah into Emunah in Hashem. That's our choice. He didn't give us a choice whether we have Emunah or not. We have Emunah. He gave us the choice what we place our Emunah in. So that was point number one of the 4 points that the Aleshah wanted to make. Now point number two. Just like all the other Kochos and Nefesh, then Emunah is awakened by and developed with him. This is going to be a very important point that he's going to have a whole chapter on later in the chapter of the way to acquire Emunah by imagery, which he calls Siurim Belev. The Rambam says in Mor Nevuchim, chapter Nun, Da lacha ha-ma'ayen, ki ha-emunah eino inyan ha-ne'emar bepeh. From a Jewish perspective, emunah is not a declaration. I declare that I have a belief in da-da-da-da. Whatever you want to add in at the end of that sentence. That doesn't portray one's emunah. Emunah is not that you proclaim that you believe in such and such. Aval ha'inyan ha-mutsuyar b'nefesh. Rather, it's your inner screen, your inner picture, your inner vision of how you lead your life. So you could have person A who says, I believe everything Hashem does is for the best and that God guides us in this world. But his inner screen does not portray that. Because in his life, when something bad happens to him, his way of relating to it is not with the belief that that's also from God. His way of relating to it is, it's his fault and it's the other one's fault and it's because of this and what did I do wrong and why am I to blame and whatever other things he says. But his inner screen is portraying a world in which there's no God there. It's a world in which if this happened, it's because of, and he's going to look for some cause of why it is and whose fault it is. He plays the blame game. Who is to blame? Am I to blame? Is he to blame? That's a world without Emunah in Hashem. So it could very well be that in his mouth he's declaring, I believe that everything comes from God and God does everything for the best, and he's declaring those things. But the Rambam says that faith is not tested by one's proclamation. Faith is tested by one's inner world, inner screen, their inner vision, how they perceive, how they portray, how they relate to and respond to the world. They have a vision of what Hashem is in their inner world, and they relate to Hashem from that place. So it could be that a person knows the right thing to say is that God is a loving God, but their inner vision of God is that God is out to get them and trying to harm them, and it's cruel, and you have to, like, you know, make sure you're behaving properly not to get in trouble. Like, I'll tell you a nice example of where that comes up. What's in your mind? Oh, you know, you could imagine what's in someone else's mind when they say Tfilat HaDerech. Some people, the default in their mind is, I don't want it to be an accident. And there may be an accident. So to make sure that there won't be an accident, I'm going to say Tfilat HaDerech. Which basically means the world is bad to some degree. And if, as long as I pay God his due every point, then he promised, it's like the mafia. Like the mafia. You pay protection money. If you paid your protection money, then you're safe. So the protection money for God is Tfilat HaDerech. And I'll pay it, but then what's basically your inner vision of God? That he's going to harm me unless I do everything that he says I have to do exactly, and otherwise he's going to harm me. That's an inner vision. So that person may say, I love God and God loves me and God is for the best, everything good. They might say those words. But what's the inner world mindset when they're saying Tfilat HaDerech? It's that God is the mafia. That's the true faith they have in God. I'm not saying it's a good faith or a bad faith. I'm just saying that's their faith. That's where their emunah is in the way they relate to Hashem in an authentic manner. So real emunah is not the emunah that one declares in their mouth, but rather it's the emunah of the picture of God they have in their heart, in their soul, the way they relate to Him. Kol ma she'anu marbim letzayer la'atzmenu tzayirim, ha'ma'amitim lanu et ha'Torah v'midot ha'borei itbarach, mitchazeket emunateinu. So momentarily we spoke about visionary as a way of testing how our relationship with God is. How do we envision God? That's a way of testing. We had the example of Tzadar. How do I perceive God? That's one. But also it's a way of working on it as a tool. If you wish to strengthen your relationship with God, the way you do that is by building imagery. And the more imagery that you build of who Hashem is through the pictures, your inner pictures that you have of Him in your world, then the more you will develop a relationship with Him. Which means on a very grounded, down-to-earth level, that means that if a person is always looking in this world for Hashkocha Pratis, and is looking for the hand of Hashem, and is looking at natural events that take place, and seeing how God's hand was interwoven amongst all those events, and you could not find a better example for this in the Purim story, in which God's name is not mentioned there explicitly, but God's tag and label is left on every word and every page, and every element of the story. I don't know if you've seen this, but there's this beautiful storybook for kids, written by Mordechai Chalamish, about, in Hebrew it's called Yaldei Shushan Menatzchim Et Haman. The children of Shushan beat Haman. That's the name of the book in Hebrew. Anyway, that has a beautiful, amazing thing in that story. Every page or second page, it has this little circle at the bottom where it has exactly this happened at exactly this time. It's no coincidence. And it has that on every page. All the different elements and parts of the story. From page one, the king suddenly decided to move his throne from the inner room to the outer room. It's no coincidence. And then everything all the way through. Then at the end of the book, right when the book finishes, it has this very, very, very long, like, swervy snake type of picture, which has all the circles together. 1, 2, 3, 4. There's tens and tens of them. And then if you read them over there, that was no coincidence. That was no coincidence. That was like... And you see, this is the hand of Hashem. That you see when you connect all those dots, and you see how, in order for this story to work, all these perfect people have to be the perfect place, the perfect time for each of the elements of the story. And that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu hidden. Megillat Esther. The word Megillah is to reveal, like Gilui. Esther is that which is hidden. Satur. It's that through learning the story of Purim, you learn to reveal Hashem's hidden hand throughout your life. Now someone who, in their world, is looking for the way that Hashem reveals Himself to you in this world. I'm not talking here about someone who needs to take tablets and be in an asylum and he has visions of God coming to him. I'm talking about someone who has a normal day-to-day life. But they attribute and recognize all the things that happened to them throughout their life as, that was God's hand guiding me at the right place at the right time. Then they will have vision upon vision of Hashem's hand in their life. And they will then begin to develop a relationship with Hashem. And if they learn Tanakh, and when they learn it by envisioning. I mean, they read the story and they say, what must it have been like? And they try to even close their eyes. And they envision where exactly was David HaMelech standing, and where exactly was the Goliath standing, and how small was David and how big was Goliath, and how scared he must have been, but then how he had this Ruach Hashem that came over him, and he came and stood there, and he was looking all the way up to see Goliath, and he was trying to aim, but it was a bit high for him to see from that point of view. And you get into the vision, and you feel him say, I'm not coming in the name of myself, I'm coming with the name of Hashem. And he was full of emunah, that he was not coming to represent himself, but he was representing God's name. And the reason he was fighting was because Goliath spoke out against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And he was coming to defend Hashem's name in the world. And you have that vision in your life. And the vision of him swinging and then letting, it was two ends, like much like this, much like this. It was two ends and he swung it around and then he let go of the one end and then it opened and exactly, and there were five stones and then became one stone and how it went in, and you have the whole vision of how it opened exactly to go in. Then you have a vision of Hashem in your life. Emunah is not something theoretical. It's not philosophy. It's not philosophy of how could God create a stone that's so heavy that He can't pick it up. Where are you going to get with that? You're not going to get anywhere with that in your relationship with Hashem. But rather it's creating visions where you see Hashem's hand in your life. And that's the way that you develop Emunah in Hashem. We turn like it, we could possibly say, Ki tziurim amitiim heinam ha-mafteach le-emunah. If you have true visions, if you have visions which are in accordance to the truth of the world, in accordance to the Torah, then you will have the key to developing an emunah-orientated world in your life. As we're going to say later on in much more length in the next parak, or the parak after, two more prokim, but we're going to speak about how to develop imagery to make that something which is a real force. One major way I'll just say now is, when you see an event through someone else's eyes, if you're standing near someone who is a Baal Emunah, and you experience the same thing they're experiencing, and it's hard, but you see the way they relate to it, and you're in the same situation. Right? You and them are in the same situation. You're both going through something together. I remember once there was two boys here in Yeshiva, and they'd made some big plan, and the plan didn't work out. It was Ben Azmanim, or off Shabbos, or something, off Shabbos, and they were going to go somewhere and do something, and they had this whole plan, and they were really excited about it, and it didn't work out. And one of them was a real Baal Emunah. He's actually getting married in 2 days, and I'm speaking to him tonight. And he's a real, real emestika Baal Emunah. Like, he had faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like, Emunah pshuta tamimen Hashem. And the other one was more of a philosopher. Like, this happened, and why didn't that happen? And because we did this, or because whose fault is it? And he was working out cheshbonos rabbin. And they were walking back from the bus stop after having missed the bus that was supposed to take them to where they were get to, and everything wasn't working out their way. And later on, the other one, not the one I was speaking to, not that one said to me, I don't know how he did it. Like, I was there getting all worked up and getting all frustrated and getting all upset, and the plans, and we worked him out, they put in so much effort, and it wasn't what he wanted, and he was like all upset. I said, and I was walking with him, and he was just saying with like, Emunah, says, this is where we're supposed to be now. This is where we're supposed to be. And I was like, yeah, but we make plans. You know? Yeah, but Hashem wanted us to go there. And then Hashem said, no, you must be here. So this is where we're supposed to be. Why did we want to go there? We thought it was good for us. We thought that we would be inspired by meeting those people. Hashem said, we must be here. So what's the difference? Like, this is Hashem's plan for us. Like, Emunah Temimah. Simple. So that person said to me, the way I was able to grow up my Emunah was looking at him and I say, I'm in the same situation as him. I'm in the same place exactly. And he's looking at it in that way. I can also look at it in that way. It's not natural to me. But I can look at it in that way as well. And he was able to then, it wasn't easy for him. He didn't like any click. That's it, I'm done. I can see that way. It wasn't easy. But he was able to get an entry into that way of looking into the world by seeing someone else. He had the imagery of this person. You see? He had the vision of this person. That's what that person helped him with. Gave him an image of how he could relate to it in a new way. And that gave him an image which he was able then to absorb within his heart with time. That's the key to Emunah. This topic needs a lot more discussion. This is, the essence, you know. Our whole purpose is to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the way to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to develop an Emunah mindset. And the way to develop an Emunah-oriented mindset is imagery. So using images which are going to bring you close to Hashem. So we've opened the door, and we've given the essay a title. But there's still a lot more work to do. But at least know you know the path. At least now you have a recognition of, if you want to start working on this topic, where do you go? What's the path? Siur Halev. Siuri Halev. That's the path. B'tzad hara yadua lanu ki hiru rei avera, which are siuri avera, kashim yavera. The idea of siur is so powerful, it can be used for the good or for the bad. And when a person uses the imagery, which is forbidden, inappropriate imagery, that's called hiru rei avera. The imagery of inappropriate things. And Chazal tells us that's even more severe than Avera itself. It's hard to understand exactly what that means. Obviously it doesn't mean that it's more severe, meaning at least in this world. In this world, the person who has Hiru Rei Avera doesn't have a death penalty. But a person who acts on that Avera that he was imagining in his mind could, depending on the circumstances, could be a death penalty. So what does it mean, Hiru Rei Avera, Kashim Avera? But it could mean that when a person acts physically with his body to do an avera, but he had no intention to, he had no will to, it wasn't what he envisioned or wanted, where it's his body doing it, but it's not his neshama, it's not his soul, it's not his inner world, then that's something external to him. It could be anus, it's something external to him. That is bad, that it happened. But hiru rei avera, which means that it's something that he wants and he's desiring and he's thinking, that's his place of emunah, it's his inner chamber. That is Kodesh Kadashim. That is inner world. If at that place he's imagining it, maybe in this world he won't get punished for it. Because he didn't act. This is a world of the body. This world, if the body does a sin, then the body gets punished. But the neshama, the place of the soul, the place of one's inner thoughts, where the hirhur is, what the siur is, what one's imagery is, kashin me'aver, that's more severe. That's more significant. That's your inner world. That's your inner place. That's who you are. And therefore, the power of Tzior is so strong. Because the imagery, the thoughts that you're having and the visions that you're having, those could be connecting you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or they could be taking your most inner world and taking you, Chas V'Shalom, in the other direction. Taking you in a place which is very far away. And that's why imagery is so powerful. A person could be in Shmona Esrei, and their mind could be in the most inappropriate places, and in a split second they could re-enter Kedusha. In a split second they could say, this is inappropriate, stop. I'm focusing on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and as long as I have an anchor, like we spoke about in the Tara Libeinu Shiurim, of how to bring yourself immediately back by having an anchor of sorts. As long as you have an anchor, it's easy. You're able to say, okay, this is my anchor, and I go back, and he goes back to the place. You can go from the pits of Tumah immediately to come back and being Tahor and accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and standing before Hashem and davening with a cleanness, purity of mind. And that's all within the imagery. Ki koach hatziur chazak meod lehavi l'day ma'asim rabim. In the same way as tziur is so powerful, a person can have an inappropriate image and it could lead him to do such terrible things. So we're talking here about using it for emunah in the positive. Ka kein betzada kadusha. You could have, I think I've told this before. If I have, don't stop me because I like this story. That Rabbi Tatz was in a shiur and, I heard this story from Rabbi Tatz in a shiur, but the story is about Rabbi Dessler who was sitting in a shiur and he was teaching Balabatim. Well, everyone remembers the story, or is it worth telling again? Okay, I love this story. So Rav Dessler was in the shiur, and he was talking to Balabatim, and he quoted this Gemara now here, which is about to quote. He says that we wear tzitzis, and on the tzitzis there's tcheles. And on the tcheles is supposed to remind us of the sea, and the sea reminds us of the sky, and the sky reminds us of the rakia, kisei hakavod, where we're thinking of HaKadosh Baruch. So the man asked Rav Dessler, one of the Balabatim says, Rabbi, really? Who thinks like that? Who thinks, oh look, the sea in Ashdod. Oh my, the heavens opening up. Hashem, I love you, Hashem. Who thinks in that way? Who looks at this like string and then like is immediately brought back to God? So Rav Dessler says, Tell me, you know, I don't know, maybe you can help me with something. There's a Gemara that says, you're not allowed to look at a woman's clothing when she's not wearing it. If you know who the woman is. And you see her clothing on the bed, so you're not allowed to look, or the washing line, you're not allowed to look at that thing. Why not? What, a piece of material? What's wrong with, why is there a prohibition of looking at a piece of material that's hanging on a washing line? Says, so Rabbi, a woman, you said a woman, and you said that you know who she is, right? You said, that's what you said? Yeah, the Gemara says it, you have to know who she is. Ah, so obviously, it's a Rabbi, so you see her. So Rav Dessler was playing a fool. So, all right, what's the issue here? Like, you're seeing material. What's it? No, Rabbi, you know how wise the Chachamim were. They understood the nature of man. They understood the psychology of man. They're like, you see the clothing and then you think of her. You think of her? Why do you think of her? No, because Rabbi, that's the way man is, you know? Like, one thought leads to another thought, and like, you see the clothing and you think of the woman, and that could lead a person to do, like, have inappropriate thoughts. Rabbi, like, so he says, oh, so what you're saying is that when a person sees something, then it triggers an image, and then that makes a person think of something else. He goes, yeah, of course. So he says, I guess it just depends what's on your mind. Fantastic. It's exactly the same. Thought triggers thought. A thought triggers a thought. What thought triggers your thought? So for him it was obvious, that if you see a woman's clothing, it's going to make you think of Gilead Rice. Why? Because material, the woman, that particular woman, inappropriate relationships, of course that's the way it's going to go. Obvious. But if a person is emunah-oriented, that's what's on their mind, is the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It doesn't make a difference how far removed it is. You're always looking for the Yad Hashem in your life. So you see the tzitzis that remind you to see the sky, Kodesh Baruch Hu, of course. That's what's on your mind, that's what's going to bring you back. Of course that's how it works. Just depends what's on your mind. Brilliant. Of this. I heard that from Haftaz. I love that line. So when you see Ur in your mind, when the imagery of your mind is the imagery of Hashem, that's like what you're looking for. That's your whole life. It's Yad Hashem. Where's Hashem in my life? Then whatever you're going to see is always going to bring you back to that same place. Anything you see will remind you of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Any picture you see of a building, of the Beit HaMikdash, like, it sounds like silly at first, but that's what your mind will go to automatically. Your mind will automatically go to, like, think matters of Kedusha. Anytime you see on a bread, you're thinking of Challah, you're thinking of Shabbos, maybe you're thinking of the Beit HaMikdash. All the imagery that you have is an image. Your world, your mind is full of Torah imagery. Hashem-oriented imagery. That when it brings you anywhere, where does it bring you to? It brings you back to Hashem. So the more imagery you have in your mind, which is God-orientated, then even things which are not connected, things which are random in the world will always trigger you and bring you back to Kadosh Baruch Hu if that's the tzir on your mind, if that's what's on your mind. That was point number two. Point number three. There's another aspect which is called emunah often, which he says is not really emunah. It's kind of emunah, but it's not the emunah that we're talking about over here. Da'ma lahashiv la'afikorus. You have to know the answers to those questions that non-connected people ask. When I say non-connected, it could be religious people. But it's the type of questions which come from a place of doubt. They emanate from doubt. It doesn't say learn emunah. Right? It says know what to answer at apikoros. So who's an apikoros? It's someone whose his starting point is maybe there's no God. Prove it to me. How could this have happened and why did that happen? You have to know how to answer it. Because everyone has within themselves a place of doubt as well. That's also the story of Purim. That's the story of Amalek. Amalek are the ones who brought that doubt in. When we left Egypt, we were invincible. We were the people of Hashem. We were with the fire before us. We were with the clouds surrounding us. We were the people of Hashem. There was no doubt that we were going to receive the Torah. And that was going to bring Hashem Shechina down into the world. Moshe was going to be the Mashiach straight into Yerushalayim with the Beit HaMikdash. And the entire world would recognize Malchut Hashem in the world. And Amalek came and they accomplished their goal. They accomplished their goal. The goal wasn't to wipe us out totally, but just to plant doubt. Maybe yes, maybe no. Who says? Could be. But look, we were able to fight them, and we were able to take out the weak ones. Now, we still carried on and received the Torah. So, they didn't accomplish their goal, but they did. Because the goal was supposed to be that the entire world would recognize the oneness and uniqueness of Hashem, and there would be no doubts, no sfeikas. But Amalek and Safek are the same gematria. Safek, Amalek. They accomplished their goal. That the world hears about Hashem, hears about Torah, says, it's an option. Could be. I've heard that svara. If it works for you, you go with it. I'm not going to argue with it, you know. If it makes you feel good, then you want to, you know, not eat meat and milk together. But you can do what you want to do. But I'm more happy to do my doubt. It planted doubt in the world. So, we, unfortunately, since the bite of the snake, and we have that poison going around within us as well, we also have a suffix. And it's important for us to resolve that suffix so we can then, from a pure place, come and reconnect our Kodesh Baruch. But that's not emunah. All that is removing the poison. So you can then go and develop a pure relationship with Hashem. If a person spends their whole life answering those questions, they will end up at the starting point. Which is that, I don't have doubts, so what do you have? Nothing. Now you can start building relationship. We once gave the mashal here, I think, that there was someone who was adopted. And they went to find their birth mother. And when they came to meet her, they weren't sure it's really her. Because, you know, there were a lot of mix-ups in the place they came from and the files weren't so clear. They said, listen, I want to invest in the relationship, but I'm not sure that we're related. So, would you mind, no offense, but would you mind, could we do a blood test? Just to see that it's for real, it's legitimate. Okay, fine, they do a blood test, it comes back, yes, they're definitely related. Okay, so where are you up to now? Nothing, you haven't started yet. You haven't developed any relationship. All you've done is resolve the doubt. Right? Okay, so this is my mother and I'm the child and good, now we can stop. Only then you actually begin. So, da ma la hashiv l'afikoros, knowing how to answer those questions of doubt that bother a person, they may be important to remove the negativity, to get rid of the poison. But that's not emunah. You haven't yet developed the relationship with Hashem. But you maybe need to do that. But now you start building the... Now that you've done the blood test and you've seen, yes, this is a family, then you start learning about their lives, seeing how their hand was in your life, recognizing how much they love you, you invest in them and you start to begin to love them. That's when the real relationship begins. So, that's not emunah. Nevertheless, it's a prerequisite. And therefore we call it emunah. But it's not real emunah. Okay, so we're in the middle of a phrase, yeah, I know, but it's coming close to Maariv. So, we've done point one last time. We did point two today and that's what we focused on mainly. We opened and introduced point three, but Hashem will next time finish off those couple of points.